Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. You've probably heard the phrase, if you aren't outraged, you aren't paying attention. But the opposite is also true. Now, lately, I have been very much fixated on the first part of that. If I am not outraged, I'm not paying attention. And I know a lot of us are struggling with paying attention. It's like you can't look away because then you feel like you're not living up to your obligation as a citizen, as a human. And if you look at it too long, you lose hope, you lose faith in your fellow human beings. And I just wanted this week to take a break from the obligation to be outraged and to remember that if you're not awestruck, you're not paying attention. It is important to take a break from the stress, from the outrage, from the panic, from the pessimism, to remember that we have a near infinite number of things to pay attention to. We have a planet filled with miracles, and that if we forget to notice them, if we forget to take time to soak in that stuff, then we lose the very passion, the very love of life that is required to stay an active warrior in the world. So this week, I wanted to remember to be awestruck, remember to notice the miracles, remember to pay attention to the tiny gestures that you see every day to remind us that people are good. People have profound hearts. People have generosity that is such a contrary vision to what the news wants to force down our throat, wants to get us excited about, get us panicked about. We have a 24-hour news cycle, and when the world went to this world of 24-hour news and news became a eyeball-requiring entertainment industry, the incentive to create incendiary information, incendiary news got greater and greater and greater. The news has always been about what's going wrong, but in the recent internet years, and starting with cable TV and 24-hour news, we are given this message of this, look at the news, this is what the world is. And what the news is examples of the worst of us, the most violent, the most ignorant, the most incendiary, because that's what kicks us in our reptilian brains and makes it so we can't stop watching. We get so upset, we become addicted to it. I'm guilty. I have to really force myself not to pay attention to a headline and go deeper into something that is poking at me. It's intentionally trying to make me upset. And that isn't to say that there isn't information in there that I need to know, but often I know the information, and the way that it's being presented, it's a new perspective of someone else commenting in an area that just gets me more tense, gets me more frustrated. And every time I'm doing that, I'm not watching a nature documentary. I'm not looking at the clouds. I'm not saying hello to a stranger or smiling at someone I'm walking by. I'm not out in the world appreciating the majesty of this planet. It takes discipline because it feels like it's not important. What's important is everything that's going wrong. What's important is the collapse of the world as we know it, of morality as we know it, of kindness and compassion as we know it. But it's important to remember that for recorded history, there has always been things to inspire awe and things to inspire outrage. And our responsibility as a human being is to balance ourselves, to have a diet that is healthy, not just in terms of what we eat and ingest food and drink, but also what we ingest in terms of information, what we ingest in terms of ideas and attitudes. And if we are passive in what we eat and we just eat junk food and whatever is the saltiest, fattest, you know, we will be sick. And if we are passive in the information and the stimulus that we ingest, we will also become sick. And I know that many people around me, myself included, have been feeling this sickness lately. A diet that is unbalanced, a diet that is too high in saturated bullshit. I'm not saying to close your eyes and pretend like nothing's happening and live through pink-covered, coated glasses, but I'm saying you got to have a well-balanced breakfast. And that includes love, that includes hugs, that includes nature, that includes being reminded of all the incredible things in this world that make it worth fighting for. So I started making a list. Of course, there's things like my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister-in-law, my nephews. Ugh. The people in my life, that's an easy one. My friends, my campmates, burners that I meet, people that inspire me in their art. I'm going to read a little bit of my list and then read some of the things that people shared online when I asked for input. Or what are the things to remind us that life is amazing? What are the things that help you to remember that if you're not paying attention, if you're not awestruck, you're not paying attention? I wrote down budding leaves, laughing babies, elderly couples holding hands, reptile skin, and sunsets. Amaryllis bulbs. Tomatoes fresh off the vine. Seeing homeless people act with selflessness and generosity. Hot soup on a cold day. Other people's relationships with their dogs. Lily pads, lotus flowers, and koi. Pretty much most of Black Rock City and Burning Man. Butterflies, waterfalls, tropical fish. And I'm just getting started. What are some of the things that people have shared today? Alethea Sharon Christian said, tardigrades! Those incredible little animals that can survive anything. She shared, seeing how everything in nature and even the solar system has such a delicate balance, but at the same time, seeing how it all works together perfectly. Daniel Jerome Schwanebeck shared, when a mother gets pregnant with a female fetus, the fetus already has all her eggs she will ever have in her lifetime. So a part of you existed inside your grandmother. Rivera Roseanne said, the healing power of music. Vesper Holly said, the dinosaur-like vocalizations of a raven in our front yard reminds me of how incredible evolution is. Wendy Hiller said, the hawk I heard screeching this morning when I woke up. The rainbows that my prism makes on the walls of my massage studio. Matthew Higginbotham said, Tank Man of Tiananmen Square. Malia Becklin said, Bob Ross. Manifest said, his pet goats. Akira Chan shared, my dual perspective every day, how he's able to see the world through his child's eyes. Helen Damon said, it's amazing that out of all the planets known so far, that this amazing planet of ours can support so many diverse life forms, from ones that fly, to ones that live underwater, to ones that walk on land. Amy Thornton said, when I see someone who has never set a real boundary in their life, do so. When I see people helping others for no personal gain. Kelly Wilcox said, music, Burning Man, regionals, and art, mountains, and country sunsets. Being able to connect with people and see human beings is one of the most glorious and awe-inspiring things that I know. Seeing a human being reveal their truth is the most beautiful thing in the world, and I feel so blessed that because of the ripples that Hug Nation creates and the way that they come back to me and the way I hear from people and the way I get to work with people on the Pink Path and the way I hear stories from people at Burning Man events, I feel so blessed, and I am taking this opportunity to remember each person that I have connected with, whether it is in this moment right now during this live broadcast, whether it is through the archive, the digital magic of bottling up our energy and thoughts, or whether it's an in-person hug that we have shared. The sum of these connections, the sum of these human vessels of love, is awe-inspiring. And I will tell you, I am paying attention. Thank you for being a part of this incredible, incredible path. Thank you for walking this path with me. I love you. Let's have a hug. So grab yourself by the shoulders. And take a moment to be grateful for this body. We could spend weeks just listing off the miracles inside this body. The balance, the incredible way it heals itself. That we convert food to energy. That we fight off invaders. That we have this incredible chemical storm in our minds that affects our thoughts and our feelings. And what a gift to be inside this body, to be experiencing this fertile planet through this meat spaceship. What a gift. And what a gift to share it with so many other human beings that are just as lost and scared and excited and joyful and living the human drama just as we are. And for just three breaths, let's forget any differences we have with the other human cells on this massive cosmic organism. Let's just be one, admitting that sometimes we need to be forgiven and sometimes we need to forgive. And let's just be in a place of peace and love for three breaths all together, in through the nose. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you. Admittedly, this topic was one I needed to hear. As the world has been testing me in terms of my optimism, testing me in terms of my faith, testing me in terms of my faith in my fellow human beings and the progress of our planet. But I'm remembering that, you know, we have always been in times that had light and dark. And sometimes we need to remember that often the dark that seems overwhelming is simply dark that is being revealed. It is not the creation of darkness, it is simply the revealing of darkness. And how does darkness get eliminated? By the presence of light. So, taking a moment today to remember all the things that amplify the light inside us, that remind us of the joy of existence in life. Because there's plenty of places and voices and outlets of information that will try to remind you of the darkness. You are the light. Remember that. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. What other things have people shared? What other reminders have people typed in? Carrie is saying, Jack the Cow and Baxter the Coonhound are sources of joy. She also shares that every single person who has ever firewalked with me, challenging their comfort zone and embracing their fearlessness. Isn't that is something that was strong with me, and it was strong with Amy's post. Seeing human beings grow, seeing an individual stretch beyond their scripts and their limitations and their fears and stretch into their warrior state, their warrior path, their truth. That is, in some ways, perhaps this entire playground, this classroom of consciousness is so that we can have those moments. And perhaps the darkness and the struggles is required for us to have an environment that we can actually show courage and we can grow. Maybe that is part of the whole decision that we may have made to be conscious during this lifetime of ours. There's nothing more beautiful than a human being revealing their truth. There's nothing more energizing and exciting than someone stepping into their strength and their power. And I mean strength and power not in a, you know, machismo fighting way. I mean strength and power in terms of alignment with truth, alignment with your heart, with a recognition of the power that you have in touching people and affecting people when you are in alignment with your heart, with your love, with your kindness. When you see people get that over all the scripts of consumerism and financial stresses, when you see people get in touch with that warrior state of being a vessel of love, a warrior of compassion, a kindness rippler, that's what gives you hope. That's what lights you up. That's what brings light to the darkness. So thank you for everyone who is in the tiniest of ways walking your path and inspiring others as you do so. I was at the Burning Man Esalen week, and somebody noticed that, somebody noticed that my phone had a sticker of my face on it. And they said, like, narcissist much? And I said, you know what? I got some thoughts for you on this. Now, I believe that there is a divine oneness, and I'm a part of it. We are all a part of this divinity, this God consciousness, this the oneness of the universe is all part of this unknowable time and space, all including divine thing. And I am a part of it. And in this moment, I am experiencing the divine oneness from a fractional consciousness, from a single viewpoint inside the body of John Halcyon. And I believe I have chosen this experience, and we are all experiencing the divine oneness from the single perspective, and it's kind of how the universe knows itself and expresses itself. And so the one part of the universe that I have the most control over and the most awareness of is me, is this body, is this viewpoint, is these sensations. So quite literally, the universe revolves around me. I say that not as a narcissist, but as an agent of the divine, as one who is in awe and reverence for all of divinity, and yet has the best experience and the best chance of honoring the divine by honoring the experience that this body and this consciousness has. I don't think that's narcissism. I think that is humility. I think that is reverence. I'll take the narcissist comments all day long, but I honestly think that the way that you show appreciation and honor God is by celebrating the life that you have. And in doing so, it's connection to all things, but clearly the experience of emotions and feelings and thoughts that I have is infinitely stronger through this vessel. As I affect others, it affects me, and that's part of how this fabric of consciousness that is divine oneness is beyond understanding, and yet we slip into understandings. But the clear, absolute truth of it is the universe revolves around me and every one of us, not at the expense of anyone else, but in a race, I should be concerned with my car, right? And everyone else's car too, but definitely I should be monitoring all the dials and where my car is, because that's how we all avoid a crash. If I was a cell in a body, how would I do my part? I would make sure I'm healthy and doing my job and being aware of what other cells I'm affecting. But clearly, I can't get up in everyone else's business. That's not narcissism. That's healthy expression of individuality within an infinite system. So, yes, I have a sticker of myself on my phone. And I feel a little weird about it. I'm going to take it off, I think. But at least it prompted this conversation, which couldn't be a bad thing. So, and also, I mean, more and more I am recognizing that the importance of self-love, and which I think is a spectrum and a journey. And there are times when I'm in absolute profound awe and love for myself, and there are times when I have shame and guilt and judgment. But I know that my experience and the experience that I have of other people, the people who are struggling through self-judgment, the feeling that we must live small or meekly, like that is not a place in which to lift people up. That is not a platform in which you can serve. And when you try to serve from that place, it's tainted by the impurities of your light. Maybe that's the wrong term, but the flow that goes through you has resistance from your own issues. And as you clear that out, as you try to love that, and it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means you love the way you are. And you love the direction you're going, and you love the stumbles you have, and you love it all because you're having a human experience. And if you can love that, then the energy that can flow through you, the divine stuff that can flow through you, does not have your insecurities and issues and ego fears attached to it. So you can be of service. Self-love is required for humility in service. I think that's true. I'm going to think about that. Being creative is such an integral part of being a human being. We are creative monkeys. We make things. We creatively express. And so if we stop being creative, if we allow the cultural scripts to force us into consumer mode, and we receive and we watch television and we are entertained, and we stop being creative, we are living a partial human existence, which has consequences to our spirit. It has consequences to our feeling of being fully expressed and fully, truly who we are. It's the reason why, I'm such a zealot and fanatic about Burning Man, is because it's this place where everyone is reminded that they're an artist, and everyone is encouraged to create and participate and do, no matter how crappy, it is by traditional standards. You should sing even if your voice is terrible. You should draw even if you can't make a stick figure. You should, not should, but it's healthy to express, to flow, to create. And if you're not doing that, it's just like, without human contact, we can't be fully expressed. Without touch, it's tough to feel fully human. Without creative expression, it's tough to feel fully human. And without knowing it, we then try to figure out what's wrong, What pill can I take to make me feel more content? When actually, I love a good pill, to quote Jacob Glass, and I've been helped by medications many times in my life. There are parts of being a human being that we are not, unless we connect in places like this and festivals and events and communities that are supporting us in our true authentic creative selves, our consumer messaging does not give us the push to express ourselves and be fully human and being who we are. And that stifling of our truth affects our physical health, our mental health, and so many things. I think, Yeah. Thank you so much for being here today. I hope you have an amazing week. Thank you for being a part of all that inspires awe in me and in the world. You are a gift. Thank you. I love you. Have a beautiful day.